This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Viv Albertine was a guitar player for The Slits, a British punk band from the late 70s. She rubbed elbows with members of the Sex Pistols and Clash, but unlike her male punk peers, she heard no much more often than she heard yes. That did not deter her, however, from doing what she wanted to do anyway. Viv told her story in a 2014 memoir, and her anecdotes about life on the road and on stage intrigued musician and actor Mara Thomas and inspired her to write a new play about women in punk. It's called Yes to Nothing, and it traces the story of a four-part band from the beginning of their career in 1982 to a reunion show 20 years later. The production's put on by the theater company known as the Little Green Pig Theatrical Concern. Going to be on stage at venues around the Triangle in the next 3 weeks. Opens at Slim's in Raleigh on Thursday. And joining me now for a preview is playwright Mara Thomas. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. So glad to be here, Frank. I appreciate it.
It's good to have you. Tell us more about the idea for this. It apparently came from reading Viv's memoir, right?
It did. That was my initial inspiration. And just by way of conversation, I mentioned that I was reading this book to the artistic director for Little Green Pig, J. Bird Obirsky. And a few weeks later, he sent me an email. You want to write a play about that? And I thought, well, you know, I've been in bands when I was in my 20s, and having been part of the theater company for a few years, I thought maybe there's a story here that I could tell. And if he trusts me, then I'm going to go for it.
So you have a little musical background, some theater background, and then this memoir. Tell us what it was about Viv Albertine's story that grabbed you.
Well, first of all, I'm a huge fan of that era of music. So just knowing that her boyfriend was Mick Jones before The Clash even a band,
right? Yeah.
Was like, oh, okay, these were just your friends that all went on to become world famous. But you know, so that was fascinating. But really, the book was sort of in two parts. The first part was up through the band. And then the second half was her life after music, which I found equally fascinating. And really, so much of that resonated with me, knowing how hard it was for me when my first band broke up. It was devastating, just similar to her. She couldn't even listen to music for a few years. I felt the same way. So I just found these interesting parallels, particularly with her, I call it her manifesto of yes to nothing, that if you're faced with a choice of something that you know is wrong but is comfortable and familiar, or the unfamiliar, unknown, nothing, you have to choose nothing.
And she did. You wrote a story. Tell us about then the concept for the play that you wrote.
Well, we decided that this had to be in music venues. There had to be live music, so it was not really a traditional theater space. So I figured, let's have them loading in. You know, a band, from the minute they take the drums out of the van up through the time they're loading it back into the van at the end of the night, there's a lot of space there. There's a lot, you know, you get to know these people, their inner dynamics, their interactions with the audience. So that was the impetus. Just like, let's see who these people are from the minute they're loading in the drums up through they're playing their show.
And the process that you put together is fascinating as well, because you've taken a group of actors who may or may not have been proficient in music and said, get good at music, right?
And,
or at least as good as a punk band needs to be.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be doing the air quotes.
Yeah, because it's punk.
It's punk. So it's all about,
Sorry.
You know, it's intensity and ferocity.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, personally, I love heavy metal. I will never be able to play guitar like Iron Maiden, ever, if I did it every day for the rest of my life. But I can put on a Black Flag record and play along to every single song.
Yeah.
And there's empowerment in that. And just, like, anybody can do this. And that was the spirit of punk, was that anybody can do this. You don't have to have training. You just have to have the will to do it.
And also, you wanted to make sure that the cast understood a little bit about punk history. In fact, a lot about punk history, right?
Yeah. Yep. There's references all throughout the script. We really grounded it in the real punk scene in the United States in the 80s. So Black Flag and Husker Du and the Minutemen. And there's just little references dropped in here and there, a first name or a city or, you know, a zine. And so it was important that the actors knew what they were talking about, because these are real people.
All right, again, and give us the frame now for this, because we're taking a look at this band in two eras, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they're at their peak and then as when they make the comeback. So tell us how it set up in terms of who's playing what parts and how we see this play out over time.
Well, there are four actors playing the band in the early 80s, four actors playing the same characters 20 years later. So there's those eight cast members plus our one intrepid, very brave.
Yeah.
You got a man.
Steven.
You got a guy.
We got one guy.
You couldn't do this play without a guy,
couldn't do it without a guy. We're so lucky to have him. Steven's
women and punk, and yet.
One dude.
Who's playing multiple roles.
Exactly.
We'll see Steven. We'll talk to Steven just half a second to figure out how many different roles he's. Well, let's do this now. Let's bring in some of the actors from the production. Nell Dunlap is here. She plays the character Pamela in the 1982 version of the band. Nell, welcome. Good to have you
here.
Yes,
hello. Thank you.
Also, Dana Marks. She plays the character Pamela in the 2002 version of the band. Welcome back, Dana.
Hi, Frank. It's great to be here.
And the aforementioned Steve, who is Steven Cooper, and he plays a variety of male roles because, you know, you've seen one man, you've seen them all.
That's basically it. And they needed somebody to yell at, so I was cast.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, what the roles that you're playing, and because you do play multiple roles.
I do. I play the husband to Pamela in the 2002 cast. I play the sound guy to the 82 cast as well as the 2002 cast. I play a writer from the Touch and Go zine with the 82 cast. And I also play an assistant to a writer from Spin with the 2002 cast.
Now, this could be challenging for an actor.
It is. It was a little unnerving at first with the idea of differentiating that many different characters through dialect and physicality. But it's become fun now that a lot of that work has passed.
Mara, there's a story, too, in sort of how that came about. I mean, the sound guy, it turns out to be, sort of something that you recognized as you went forward in this play. You wrote in something called the sound guy and said, oh, my goodness, this is actually a character. I have to do something.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, you know, you load in, you have to have a sound check at some point. So they have to have someone that they're interacting with. And, you know, you roll into a new town. You don't know where to eat. So you ask the bartender, hey, you got a pizza place? So, yeah, they needed someone to, yeah.
But to be the sound guy.
To be the sound guy.
Nell, tell us about your character now, Pamela, and how you worked with Dana to write, because you both had to write a backstory, but you're the early Pamela, and Dana's the late Pamela.
Yeah.
So talk about the process of creating one character from two actors.
It was great. I mean, it was a really intentional process. There was a time we sat down together. The director, Caitlin, had a number of questions that we went through. You know, what year were you born? Simple things like that. What was your experience of school? What was the first record you bought? So we really had to line up with that. And then the physical characteristics have been a huge part of it, too. Like, you know, what are our mannerisms, both, you know, when we're acting and saying our lines, but in an even more major way when we're playing. So we both, you know, sort of observed what the other, what Dana or what I did naturally. And so then we'd try to mimic that. Like, we both really like to drop low when we're playing guitar, so we're like, really get down and get in there.
Oh, well, Dana, what happens when you both don't have the same tendency and now you've got to come up with one, or maybe you've evolved over time? And how'd you negotiate that stuff?
Oh, well, again, we were watching one another, and we were watching each other's mannerisms, and then we'd come together and say, hey, I liked this thing that you did when you did this, or I liked that thing, and we would kind of work it out or come to, like, work something out that involved – created a new gesture or a new move, mm-hmm. or just outright mimic the other person what they were doing. But we always came together and had a discussion about, oh, I noticed you did that thing. I really like that.
And well, Mara, it's really important that these characters have a backstory and a shared, you know, body language and that sort of thing. But also, you're creating a play in which things have evolved. So what's the role of evolution in here? And, you know, how did you conceive the play in terms of what you wanted to happen over that time period?
Yeah, well, I think with these two characters in particular, the Pamela was based a lot off of Viv and her life. You know, she put it herself, I went from a punk rocker to a bored housewife. So how does that happen? What happens to this person who's so full of life and then feels ground down by life when 20 years goes by? And yet the spark is still alive. She can't deny who she is fundamentally. Her setting has changed. Her circumstances have changed. But she is still, she's still Pamela. She's still Viv. And the same with other characters, that life goes on. Yeah. Life goes on. And they have a career, or they have a family, or they move around. But
the music never ends.
Exactly.
Dana and Steven, I know you've got a scene prepared for us. Dana, maybe you can set up the scene for us.
This is 2002, 20 years later, this reunion tour. And we've been married for about 17 years. We have a child, and it was a difficult pregnancy. And Pam is her body has been through a lot, but she's at the scene of the crime where the band, 1982 band, actually broke up, and they're coming together, and her husband and she are having a kind of a little spat about this. Wow, look at this place.
Ah, smell of stale beer.
I'm not fully sticking to the floor. I'm not sure if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
How long do you get started?
I don't know.
Just wondering what to do about supper.
Find somewhere to eat and eat there. It's not hard.
There it is again. You've been snippy with me the whole way here. For the last few months, actually.
I'm sorry. Look, I've got a lot on my mind.
I hate seeing you so stressed out. I thought this was supposed to be fun.
It will be. I mean, it is. Like, it's just going to be more like that retrospective fun, you know, where it kind of sucks where it's happening, but after you're glad you did it and you wouldn't change anything.
Take a breath, doll. You did it. You're here. I just want to make sure you're taking care of yourself.
I am. Honestly, I'm excited more than I am stressed. I'm excited about seeing everybody and playing our songs.
Really? You're excited about seeing Joe?
Oh, God.
What about that dream the other night?
Okay, all that, it's just... We were just kids. I mean, God forbid somebody hold me to all the things I said and did when I was 22.
You say that now.
It's fine. We're on the same team. Expectations firmly in check.
I'm not so sure about that.
What's that supposed to mean?
I know you've built this up in your mind.
No, I haven't.
Oh, Pam, come on.
Why are you doing this right now?
Oh, this is feeling familiar and... Not in a good way.
Okay, for once I'm focusing on something besides the two of you, and you can't stand it.
Dana Marks and Stephen Cooper are performing a scene from the new play, Yes to Nothing, from the Little Green Pig Theatrical Concern. It's going to play in venues all around the area. I'm also here with actors Nell Dunlap and playwright Mara Thomas. Mara, this is in a lot of ways about the punk scene, which had so many internal paradoxes. I mean, this is about rebellion. It's about anarchy in a way, but it also maintains very firmly male patriarchy and hierarchy in terms of the way aggression was expressed.
Absolutely. I think... One of the reasons that punk resonates so much with me is that I have a lot of anger. I have a lot of aggression. And I'm a woman from northern Minnesota. So I'm not supposed to feel those things, Frank.
That's not what Lutherans do.
No, well, not at all. And the Black Flag had a woman who played the bass in the later years of their career. And she felt like they really had a blind spot when it came to some of their just internal misogyny, even within that own band and the scene itself. So, you know, in many ways, it still feels like you're a little bit of an anomaly if you're a woman who likes punk or wants to get down front at a punk show.
Yeah, and they talked about that. I mean, and it is sort of the, as I said before, maybe the internal paradox, because if you're talking about bringing down a system that has so many of these oppressive structures within it, not only economic, racial, but also this kind of this gender inequality. If all you have is anger, I guess that's part of the problem. And so that's one of the internal, one of the great conflicts and contradictions in the music itself. What does the play do? What does it do for you in terms of you're a musician, you love the stuff growing up, you're an angry musician, you know, sort of expressing your inner Garrison Keillor now and then. But when you do the play, when writing the play, how did it or did it change your understanding of that movement and your place in it, your feeling about the music?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it was a real chore to have to go back and listen to some of this stuff to get inspired and get back in this, like, oh, I guess I have to watch that Minutemen documentary again. Oh, if I have to research, I can do that. You know, Mike Watt from the Minutemen in that documentary said a really great thing, you know, that not everybody can be born at the same time. That not everyone's born in 1960 and is of that perfect age to be a teenager as this wave is cresting. Some of us are born later, some of us are born earlier. And I've always bristled against people who feel like, or, you know, because I've felt this in my life where it seems like some people are gatekeepers to this music. Mm. You have to be a certain way or you're a poser. I hate that. Yeah. And I think that if it speaks to you, it speaks to you. And that's that's what it should be all about.
Yeah, I mean, that was the tragedy of punk in the 60s. You could have four guys dressed in suits, for God's sake, being polite to everybody, and they would, everybody over 30 was, you know, screaming and yelling, and blood was pouring from their eyes because their hair was at their eyebrows.
Exactly.
By the time the 70s come around, you could be murdering people, and it's like, yeah, that's the punk scene. Yep. That was the tragedy. Hey, Nell, tell me about this, because this production's going to be done in a live music venue. Mm-hmm. So talk about going in and actually having to perform music. I mean, this is more than just, you know, music that you have just recently learned.
Yeah, it is a thing. And I was thinking about this earlier when Dana and I were speaking about our movements and how we get those in sync, which is, you know, as a new guitar player, there's a real sort of freshness to it that we can learn. It's not like I have guitar habits already that I'm trying to break. So we can really, you know, get in there and, you know, be punks, you and can, that we're just, you know, making it happen. But in the music venue, there is a lot that we've been learning, like doing an actual sound check before the play starts, and we've been trying to go to a lot of shows to really see how it's done and to pay close attention to what these bands are doing.
Does it change your impression of going to, I mean, when you go to a concert, do you see it all differently?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. I mean, especially the guitar player. I play bass in another band, but I can really see where the draw of guitar is. It is very powerful.
Yeah, a lot of people are, a lot of eyes.
Yeah,
a lot of eyeballs in your direction.
Yeah.
I would love to just thank our musical directors, William Dawson and Owen Fitzgerald, for helping everybody who's brand new to their instrument navigate this process through the summer and through the rehearsal process. We're so grateful to both of them.
That's Maura Thomas. She wrote the new play, Yes to Nothing, on stage. Staged by the theater company Little Green Pig Theatrical Concern. Also with us, actors Nell Dunlap, Dana Marks, and Stephen Cooper. Yes to Nothing's going to be on stage around the Triangle in the next few weeks. The production opens at Slim's in Raleigh this Thursday. We have details at our website, stateofthings.org. First, let me thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Brian.
Appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things, produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton, Ormond, Laura Pelliser, and Jennifer Brooklyn. Robin Copley's our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.